When the Buddha says that suffering is caused by ignorance, ignorance of the Four Noble Truths, it sounds technical and far away. But there's a way of understanding it that it's not so technical and not so far away. In fact, it's very close up. It starts with looking at what you're doing. Most of us don't pay much attention to what we're doing. Or if we do, we may be paying attention in the wrong way. This is why the Buddha said that appropriate attention is so important in the practice. All too often when we're suffering, we think of what other people have done or are doing to us. We place all the blame on them. But for the Buddha, it's not a question of blame. It's a question of figuring out what you can do so you don't have to suffer. And even if people are mistreating you horribly, still, he says, there's a way you don't have to suffer from that. And that's by looking at what you're doing. And this can be what you're doing in terms of your body, in terms of your speech, in terms of your mind. And primarily, it's going to come down to the mind. But it starts with being very aware of what you're doing, being alert to what you're doing, and asking the right questions. Is this action that I plan to do going to cause any harm or suffering to anybody, to me or to others? If so, you don't do it. Because if you act on intentions that you know are unskillful, you're not going to learn anything from the suffering that results. But if you act only on what you think are skillful intentions, then as you're doing the action, if you see that any harm is coming up, you've learned something. You thought what you thought was skillful was not. And you can stop. You don't have to carry through. If you don't see any harm, you can continue. Then you look at the long-term consequences of what you've done. And you realize that either you did cause suffering or you didn't. If it was suffering you didn't anticipate, you've learned something new. You have to go back and reflect on your original intention, or you reflect on how you carried out that intention. And then you go talk it over with someone you know is, or you believe is more advanced on the path than you are, to see if you can learn from their experience. So you don't have to be reinventing the Dharma wheel all the time. Now, these were instructions the Buddha gave to his son when his son was 7 years old. So he's teaching his son from the very beginning the big issue, which is how not to be ignorant, and where to look so as not to be ignorant. Now, there are two qualities you have to bring to this. One is honesty. You really are honest with yourself about what you've done and what your intentions are. And the other is that you're observant. In particular, you're observant of your own actions. This is how you develop any kind of skill, and the Buddha's teaching you to approach life as a skill. In fact, avijja, the word for ignorance, can also mean lack of skill. What you're trying to develop is avijja, a skill in approaching life, so that you don't have to suffer. This way, as you get used to looking at your actions, as the Buddha said, treat the Dhamma as a mirror. Treat your actions as a mirror for seeing into your mind, because that's where the real problem is. What is the cause of suffering? The cause of suffering is craving. Three kinds of craving, to be particular. Craving for sensuality, for becoming, for non-becoming. So it's something that happens inside the mind. The suffering itself is something you do. We tend to think that we're on the receiving side of something that makes us suffer. We're actually doing something. We're clinging. The relationship between clinging and craving is very intimate. They're both defined as passion and desire. But the passion and desire of craving is like the passion and desire of thirst. You are hungry or thirsty. You don't have what you want yet. That causes you to suffer. But the funny thing is, when you get what you want, that's going to be suffering itself. That's where the teachings are counterintuitive. What the Buddha is saying, the word for clinging, upadana, can also mean to feed or to take sustenance. So you've been thirsty and now you've found something to feed on. Well, there's still going to be passion and desire as you're feeding. And the suffering there is that it's very unstable. You may be able to feed for a while, but then there's the question of where you're going to feed next, because you're going to get hungry again. And you build up all kinds of defenses. You've probably seen animals with food. They growl at everybody who comes near for fear that whoever is going to come near is going to take their food away from them. That's the suffering in eating. You realize that you're dependent on these things, but you don't have total control over them. That's a very precarious place to be. Even though you've got what you wanted, it's still not going to be satisfactory. It's still putting you in a position of danger, because there will be others who want to take what you've got. Now, where is all this happening? It's happening right here. Even the solution to the problem is right here, too. Change your ways. Start looking at what you're doing. Get better and better at looking at what you're doing. For instance, we're trying to get the mind into concentration right now. That's an activity that you have to work at. It's part of the path, so it's something you develop. You work on developing your alertness by being mindful. In other words, keeping the framework in mind that you want to get the mind quiet, focused on one thing. You want to keep it here. And you want to remember whatever techniques you've used in the past that have worked. So as you read your mind and see what it needs, you have a range of approaches. And then you try to focus in a way that gives rise to a sense of well-being. In this case, you work with the breath, you make it comfortable. As you breathe in, think of the whole body breathing in, the whole body breathing out. And it's doing that with a sense of ease. If you feel like you have to work to pull the breath in, hold in mind the perception that your body is like a sponge. Little holes all around. So as the chest expands, the energy can come in from all directions. It's just waiting to come in. You allow it to come in. So this is something you're doing right here. So pay attention to what you're doing and see when you're doing it well. That too is the beginning of the seeing things in terms of the Four Noble Truths. If you're not doing it well, what do you do to change? That's the right attitude to have to these truths. Someone explained the Four Noble Truths as just simply accepting, well, this is suffering. That's the cause of suffering. But the Buddha aims those truths at the third truth, which is the cessation of suffering. That's where we're going. Everything else is in service of that. And so you do what you can to comprehend the suffering, to abandon the cause. You do that by developing the path. And you do all of this by paying careful attention to what you're doing and asking the right questions. What do I expect the results to be? What are the results actually coming out as? When you're done, what were the long-term results? If they're not satisfactory, what can I do to improve? How can I change my ways? So I can abandon unskillful ways of doing things, which are the second noble truth, and develop skillful ways of doing things, which are the fourth noble truth. So the four noble truths are right here. They're not anything far away. It's just a way of looking at things right here that makes the difference. So be very careful about what your intentions are, what you're doing. Pay careful attention. And always hold in mind the desire to do it well. And that very basic way of approaching the present moment turns into knowledge of the Four Noble Truths. It turns into the skill that can undo the lack of skill, which is ignorance, which has been causing you suffering. So it's not far away. It's just a matter of looking in the right way at what's up close. That's how things become clear. And that's the direction you go to, that will eventually lead to the end of suffering. So as you realize all Four Noble Truths, you've comprehended the suffering, you've abandoned the cause by developing the path, and you realize the cessation that comes as a result. That's what they mean when they say you get the Dharma eye. And so what you're doing, simply sitting meditating right here, is you're learning how to focus that Dharma eye. It's blurry right now. But know that you're looking at the right spot. It's a matter of getting your focus really clear. And then things will fall into place.